for your listening enjoyment, John Lund as
Johnny Dollar.
Ed Gregory, Johnny. Are you free?
You mean, am I available? Yeah. What's up, Ed?
Remember Mark San Antonio?
The bootlegger? Yeah, sure. What about him?
Well, somebody shot him this morning. Got him to death in St. Petersburg, Florida.
Oh, yeah?
Great Eastern Fidelity set up a trust 2 years ago for San Antonio's daughter. They want a full report before they come across.
I see. They don't kill him yet, or why?
Not a thing, Johnny. Just that he's dead. When can you leave?
As soon as I can get a plane.
Good.
You know, many great men have attained the highest office in our land, the presidency of the United States. Can you guess the name of this man? He didn't start school until he was 9 and couldn't read until he was 11. Yet, he grew up to be a well-known writer and college president. Many important bills still in effect were passed during his administration, such as the Federal Reserve Act, the Federal Trade Commission, and the Pure Food Law. He also signed a bill setting the date for Philippine independence. On January 8, 1918, he delivered the famous 14-point speech. If you don't have his name by now, here is another important clue. He fought a losing fight to have a League of Nations recognized. Who was he? Woodrow Wilson, 28th President of the United States. His life is part of your American heritage.
Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to Home Office, Great Eastern Fidelity and Life Insurance Corporation, 6th and Jordan Avenue, Hartford, Connecticut. The following is an accounting of expenditures during my investigation of the San Antonio matter. Expense account item 1, $162.03. Transportation and incidentals, Hartford to St. Petersburg, Florida. I arrived exactly 10 hours after I received the call from Ed Quigley. The rainy weather there was as bad, if not worse, than the weather I just left. I checked in at the St. Petersburg Hotel, shaved, showered, had a meal, and started in. My first contact was a police officer, Lieutenant Benjamin by name. A big, swarthy man who seemed to know what he was about.
I don't quite get this, Dollar. What's your part?
Just that my insurance company would like a full report on everything that's happened.
Oh, you mean a report separate from what we have?
Yeah, that's about it, Lieutenant.
Well, it's their dough. They can spend it any way they want to. What can I do for you?
Well, maybe we can help each other, Lieutenant. If you'll sort of let me tag along and see what's what on the case.
We'll see. Well, San Antonio bought a big place over on the south end of town 11 years ago, just after he was released from Alcatraz. He's lived there ever since. Quiet, minding his own business, keeping his nose out of trouble.
Yeah, so I understand.
Well, as long as a man does that, even a man with a background like San Antonio, as long as a man does that, we don't bother him, he doesn't bother us. Well, today was the first peep we ever got out of him.
What happened?
Seems at 6 o'clock this morning, he phoned into the station and said that somebody was watching his house. Prowl car went out to have a look around. He told the officers that two men had been hanging around the front of his house, but they got away just before the car showed up.
Uh-huh. He give a description?
Yeah. Both about 6 feet, dark, wore dark overcoats and hats. San Antonio didn't recognize either of them. The officers put the description on the air and tried to find them, but they didn't have any luck. Now, San Antonio wasn't the kind of a bird to get excited about a couple of guys taking out his place. He pretty well knew how to take care of himself and handle trouble.
Yeah, but you say that he hadn't been in trouble or asked for any around here.
That's right, too. And I'm sure he didn't want any either. So his call was treated like any other prowler call. We investigated, didn't find anything, and promised to keep our eyes open.
Mm-hmm.
The cook came on duty about 8:30. She went in the kitchen, made him some breakfast, took it up to his room, and she found him dead. He'd been shot twice with a Luger. Lab has the slugs now. It's a close-range job.
Well, then the surest bet is the two men that San Antonio reported watching his house.
Huh? Well, that's about it. Wish we could find them somewhere.
What about the cook?
She just worked their days fixing his meals and taking care of him. San Antonio must have been past 60.
He was 67.
I guess he was beginning to show a little tread. Man who's lived the kind of life he has and done the things he's done is bound to show some wear and want some rest sometime in his life. According to her, he spent his days painting.
Painting?
Yeah.
Mark San Antonio?
Every room in the house covered with pictures he's done these last 2 years. Oils, pretty good, too. And when he wasn't painting, he was listening to records. All kinds of heavy stuff in the way of music around the place. Now, you hardly figure a bootlegger like San Antonio thinking of anything like music and art.
Hardly ever.
Yeah. Well, and all the time he was in action running booze up in New York and getting himself in trouble with the tax people, he was bound to step on a lot of toes and get himself a lot of enemies. The kind of people who wouldn't forget.
You talk to him much?
Oh, yes. Now and then I'd meet him on the street or in a store. He seemed pretty gentled up.
Hmm. How'd he live?
Apparently, he saved something from the old days. A house he paid for in cash. The bank in New York used to send him a statement every month. I suppose he had some arrangement with him. Well, that's about it so far.
I see. Well, I sure appreciate the information.
Okay. When I get any more, I'll let you know. Crime Lab's still working on some of the stuff in his room. Maybe we'll get something there.
Mm-hmm. Say, do you mind if I talk to that cook?
Oh, that's your privilege, Dollar. Her name's Olson. She's staying at the San Antonio house during all this.
Okay.
San Antonio's daughter blew into town this afternoon. She's at the house, too.
What did she have to say?
Oh, nothing. She didn't even know Mark San Antonio was her father until your insurance company told her.
Didn't know?
No, no. She's been living in Philadelphia all these years with an aunt. All very legitimate. The girl's been using the name Randall. Edith Randall.
Yes, sir.
How do you do? You Mrs. Olson?
Yes, sir.
My name is Dollar, Mrs. Olson. I'm from the Great Eastern Fidelity people. Do you suppose I could speak with Miss Randall?
Oh, I don't think so, sir. She's not feeling well. All of these things quite a shock to her.
I see. Well, then I guess my trip out here tonight was for nothing.
Well, you come tomorrow, Mr. Dollar. Please.
Mrs. Olson? Yes, Miss Randall.
What is it?
It's Mr. Dollar. He's from the insurance company.
Are you in the company?
Yes.
I'd like to talk to you, Mr. Dollar.
The woman who stood at the base of the iron grill stairway was tall and dark-eyed. She came toward me smiling, showing a frank, wide, happy mouth. Young kind of face that could have been 20 or maybe 30. Mrs. Olson excused herself, and we were alone.
I wanted to talk to someone who might be able to give me a little more information about all this. It's all quite new to me.
Well, I'll tell you what I can, Miss Randall.
Yes, I'm sure you will. From what a Mr. Hurst and the insurance officers told me on the phone, I'm to be quite well off because this man was murdered here today.
You mean Mr. San Antonio?
Yes, Mr. San Antonio. They tell me he was my father. To awaken one morning and discover you're not one person, but an entirely different person. I mean, I'm the daughter of a famous racketeer who's been murdered.
You seem to me like a very nice person.
And so do you, Mr. Dollar. Will you tell me all about this, please?
Well, just our part of it, Miss Randall. Let's see, you're 26 now, is that right?
That is.
Well, 26 years ago, your father was on trial for income tax evasion. Just before he was convicted, he set up a trust fund with my insurance company to provide for you. Been paying money for your support and education all these years. According to the condition of the trust, the rest of the money reverts to you now. It comes to well over $50,000.
And that's all there is to it?
Yeah, except for this.
You mean my father's so strange to say that? My father's murder?
Mm-hmm.
I suppose I'm grateful to my father. I suppose I should be grateful. I can't say that I'm particularly sorry about his death any more than I would be if any human being died violently somewhere. How strangely life treats us sometimes. So very strangely. You know, you've somehow made me feel comfortable in this house. May I offer you a drink?
strange for me, too, because I felt comfortable in the house. Over the drinks, we talked of Mark San Antonio. I told her what I knew of his life, of his activities up until the time he'd been sent to Alcatraz. She told me how she'd been reared, far removed from anything that might have connected her in any way with the San Antonio name. Altogether, it was a revealing conversation for both of us. She'd never imagined any part of the kind of life her father had lived. And I never imagined that it was possible for anyone to get away from a man like San Antonio.
To the road, Johnny?
All right.
How long will you be in St. Petersburg?
Till all this is straightened out.
You mean you'll be here until they find out who killed it?
Mm-hmm. How about you?
Oh, I really don't know. I really don't even know why I came here exactly. Yes, I do. I wanted to see him. See what he looked like. What kind of a life he led here.
Did you see him?
No. I suppose I can if I want to. But I have seen what kind of a life he had. He was just an ordinary man, wasn't he? Have you noticed the pictures he's painted?
Mm-hmm. May I ask you something?
Well, yes.
How do you feel about him now?
Is this for your report?
For myself.
Since you've been here, in these last 2 hours, I've begun to think of him for what he was. My father, I mean. I'd like to know why he was killed and who did it. Will I see you again?
I hope so. Edith.
Yes?
I hope so very much.
So do I, John.
At the door that night with a warm sensation inside of me. Something I certainly hadn't expected in the routine business of investigating a murder case. The next morning, I was back at the house talking to Mrs. Olson. She gave me all the information she could remember about San Antonio's activities up until the time of his death. Same information she'd given the police. All of it accurate, but lacking in any possible clues to the identity of his slayer or slayers. I had breakfast with Edith there and then went back downtown to spend a solid 12 hours in the company of Lieutenant Benjamin, who had still not located or identified the two mysterious men. However, there were other developments.
Say, this may be something.
Oh?
San Antonio's partner in the old days, Palalici, was murdered in Newark last night.
Timmy Palalici?
That's the one.
Any details?
No, just that he was shot to death with a Luger.
Slugs taken from San Antonio's body were compared with those that killed Palalici and were proved to have been fired from the same gun, but the case took on new proportions. Every available bit of information regarding the two ex-big shots of the 20s was located, read, and reread. It meant activity in such cities as St. Louis, Chicago, New Orleans, and Buffalo. But no new information as to the identity of the killer.
Johnny.
Hey, what is it? You're shaking.
Hold me. Hold me, please. I suppose I'm being a terrible fool about it all, Johnny. But they've been after me all day. The cheap little things. A newspaper syndicate wants me to write my exclusive story as the daughter of Mark San Antonio. Fairy Prince's daughter of racketeers.
Hey, now take it easy, honey.
Even Hollywood called. Somebody else just saw my picture in the paper and offered me a contract. He says he has a script all ready.
Come on.
I'll try. Women ask me what I did. I shouldn't have come here. I shouldn't have shown up at all.
Then what would I have done, Edith?
And what would I have done? Mix yourself a drink, Johnny. I'll put on a new face.
It had become apparent to me in the 5 days I had known her and the 5 days that she'd known of her father that she'd grown to love him, or the memory of him. She stated it very simply.
Everyone needs a father. If you find out you have one, or had one, really, you love him.
We were walking up the gravel path of the house when she said that. I suppose I was thinking of how nice it would be to kiss her at the door when I heard someone behind me. I twisted, trying for the gun in my inside pocket, but there was nobody to shoot at. At least nobody I could see.
Why? Why, Johnny? Why?
Edith died right there, and I lowered her to the ground.
How's about discussing a few interesting facts about your United States government? Did you know that it is actually possible to become President of the United States without being elected to that office? That's not as difficult as it sounds. All you have to do is hold down a special job in Congress or be a member of the President's cabinet. Of course, you also have to meet the other presidential qualifications of age, birth, and residence. The law which determines the order of presidential succession specifies that the vice president shall assume the presidency in the event the president dies. Next in order is the Speaker of the House, followed by the President pro tem of the Senate. Then, if for any reason these men are not available, the cabinet members are set up in line to take over the White House duties. First is the Secretary of State, followed by the Secretaries of the Treasury and Defense. Then come the Attorney General, the Postmaster General, and so on down the line through the Secretaries of the Interior, Agriculture, Commerce, and Labor. After the list of cabinet members is exhausted, it would be necessary to have an election. Up to the present time, however, the presidential succession has never gone past the office of vice president. But you might find it interesting to learn how this phase of your United States government works.
Now, with our star, John Lund, we bring you the second act of Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar.
After Edith Randall died in my arms, I was stumbling down the gravel path that led from the house to the road. It all happened so suddenly and violently that I can't say that what I did from there on or what I felt was entirely rational. All I know is that a car was parked at the deep end of the gateway and two men were just climbing into it.
Hey, you two! Stop! 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 Get out of there. Both of you. Get out with your hands up.
My head. I'm afraid to move.
Get out! Come on.
I'm coming. I thought.
All right, you two. Come on, come on.
No use on him, mister. He's used up. You got him real good. I need the doctor.
Stay where you are.
Mrs. Olson, what is it? What's happened?
Don't phone the police, Mrs. Olson.
Oh.
I'm going to get over here right away.
Who are they? What is it?
Go on, do what I tell you. Hurry.
All right, Mr. Dollar. All right.
You pretty tough fella.
What's your name?
Giuseppe Rico.
Who's he?
He was my brother, Giovanni. He's the doctor.
Tell it to me right now. There's no policeman around to help you. Nobody but you and me. If you don't tell it to me now, you'll never tell it to anybody. Now tell it. What?
Never. I'll die first.
I had one bullet left in my gun. I set the barrel back against his temple and pulled back the hammer. I think I really meant to go through with it. Then
then for the first time I noticed that my shoulder was covered with blood. My head began to ring. I had to let go and straighten up. That was not the thing to do.
Oh.
This one, huh?
Yeah, but...
Oh, you stopped one, boy. You were sure curled up when we got there.
Edith?
I'm sorry, Dollar.
I thought I might have been wrong.
No, you weren't.
How long am I slated for this place?
Well, the doctor says you can get out when you want to. Do you like talking?
They were just there, and they shot her. That's it.
Which one?
I don't know. They were together. That's enough, isn't it?
Sure, sure. Same Luger that killed San Antonio and Palalici. Just trying to pin it down a little more. We can't get much out of the one that's left.
Let me ask him some questions.
Oh, Lieutenant. Easy. I know how you feel about her. Just lie back there now.
Did he say anything at all?
No, nothing more than his name and his brother's name. Found papers on him that say that New York, police New York are looking him up right now. So far, they haven't been able to find any connection with San Antonio. Hmm. People like San Antonio and Palalici make enemies, but that girl, it doesn't figure. And those two flew here from New York just to get her.
Yeah, yeah.
Dollar, you talked to her a lot in these last few days. What'd she say?
Nothing that has anything to do with this. You know yourself, she didn't even know who her father was till he got killed.
That could have been an act.
No, it wasn't. I knew her well enough to... tell you that.
Yeah, well, why would they gun her down? Why the trip?
That Rico boy you're holding in the jail hospital has the answer. Get it from him.
Yeah, we will, Dollar. We will. Oh, someone. Hey, just a minute.
Sure.
Oh, Dollar.
Huh?
Maybe I spoke too soon. Rico died 5 minutes ago.
As far as my investigation of the San Antonio case went, could have ended right there. The Luger found on the dead Rico brother was the same gun that had fired fatal bullets into all three victims. I got my release from the hospital and late that afternoon walked into Lieutenant Benjamin's office.
Dollar, I don't get it.
Don't get what?
Here. This just came from New York on the Rico boys.
Oh?
Came to this country when they were 18 and 21. Both of them were naturalized citizens.
Records?
Not a thing. No trouble ever.
Oh, that's funny. What else?
Well, that's about it. Police there can't seem to locate their old man. He disappeared a week ago. Lived on the east side somewhere.
He a naturalized citizen, too?
Oh, that's another funny thing. He's taken out his papers and was due for examination with the immigration people this week. They're looking for him, too. When are you leaving?
Tomorrow afternoon on the 1 o'clock plane.
Well, come on. I'll buy you some dinner.
We had dinner together and talked about the case. It had been a strange one. The deaths were useless, the motives unknown. The killers weren't even associated with their victims. I parted company with Lieutenant Benjamin and went back to my hotel to trouble it out with sleep. About 11 o'clock, I had a phone call. Johnny Dollar.
Hi, Dollar. This is Ben.
Oh, what's up?
Old man Rico just walked into the city morgue. He wants to take his two sons back to New York for burial.
20 minutes later, I was standing in the coroner's office when Lieutenant Benjamin led a small, wizened old man into the room and sat him down in one of the chairs. Gave him a glass of water, offered him a cigarette. Old man refused.
No, Signore, no. Oh, thank you.
Mr. Rico, this is Mr. Dollar.
Hello, Mr. Dollar.
Mr. Rico?
I read of you. You killed my boys. You saw?
Yes. They tried to kill me.
Yeah, I know. Too bad.
Why, Mr. Rico?
Simple. You was in the way.
I don't mean about me.
I mean about Edith Randall and Palalici and Mark San Antonio. Why?
I take you to water now, please.
Why? Do you know why?
See.
Then tell me. They're all dead now.
I'm still alive.
Pietro Rico was held in custody for the immigration officials. He refused to talk about his son or any of their activities. He just stayed in his jail cell, silent, non-committal to all visitors, including the chaplain. I don't suppose we'd ever have gotten the story of it, except that the will of Mark San Antonio disclosed that before her marriage to him, his wife's name had been Maria Rico.
Yeah. More questions, Mr. Dollar?
No, I've got some answers. Mark San Antonio's wife was your daughter, wasn't she? Wasn't she?
She.
Well, is that all you have to say?
I don't talk.
Well, and I do, Mr. Rico. Because your daughter had a daughter. A lovely, wonderful daughter. That your two sons killed. I happen to know that girl.
She had to die too.
Why?
Paralici, San Antonio, and her. They had to die. All are bad.
All of us are bad at one time or another. Who made them die? You?
See.
Who gave you the right?
I'm the father. When a daughter marries a bad man, only bad can come of it. He came to our village many years ago and he took her away. He and the men of Paralici helped him. It lived with me all this time. I live only to destroy him for that. I destroy him and the other man and the girl to my sons.
Why the girl?
She could not have been good from a bad man.
A vendetta. Was that it?
If you like, vendetta. He was a bad man who did bad things. Bad man. I smoke now. You got a cigar?
Of old Pietro Rico is to the immigration authorities. I didn't stay around St. Petersburg for all the complex examinations that would have to be made to test his sanity. I had enough of St. Petersburg. Expense account, item 3, hotel and board, $79.30. Item 4, hospital, $168.13. Item 5, same as item 1, transportation back to Hartford. Expense account total, $573.49. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.